Please turn to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5, we're going to be starting with verse 13. Very familiar passage we're going to be looking at today. You know, we all face various kinds of battles in our life, struggles that come up in life. Some of them are big battles, some of them are small. To list a few: addiction, lust, pride, sickness, our job might be a struggle. Job loss might be a struggle. Our finances might be a struggle. Anger might be a battle that we face. We all have different kinds of battles that come up in our life, and some may take a long time to get through. Some of you might be thinking this morning, man, I've been putting up with this for years. When is it going to stop? When do I get relief? Some of you might be battling in your marriage. You might be battling with family issues, with kids, or with parents. I like those battles that only last for a short time. They seem to be few and far between. But I like when they do that. You know, frustration can set in our Christian walk, in our life with Christ, when we face battles. You know, rather than living by faith, we look to ourselves to get us through. I know in the first service they struggle with that, probably not in this service. But we look to ourselves to get us through our battles. We like to fight them on our own. Rather than living by faith, we become reliant and we rely upon ourselves. And we like to get the help of others rather than saying, God, tell me, show me. I want to trust you. I want to have the faith for you to get me through. This morning, as I said, we're going to look at Israel. They're going to face a battle, an enormous battle, that on the outside looking in, you look at it and you say, wow, this is huge. It's impossible to face. You know, we all have Jerichos in our lives. We all have those walls. They look impossible to defeat. So let's look and see how God deals with them. You know, we have this problem. We like to fight our battles on our own, and somehow we have the idea of how they should be won. And we like to tell God, this is how I want you to do this. This is how I want you to accomplish this in my life. So many times we have the wrong methods. We have our ideas, our ways of doing things, and we say, okay, this is how I'm going to accomplish this. I have the right method. I have the know-how how to do this, and I can get through this problem. Sometimes we have the wrong thoughts. I think it was Lloyd Pulley who said, you get stinking thinking. Probably have had that a time or two. I know I have numerous times. We get that stinking thinking when we think that all of a sudden we have the idea when God says, no, I'm the one who knows how to get you through. Sometimes we have the wrong motives. How we're going to get it done. You know, God, if you do A, B, and C, then D will happen. God says, hold on. Who's in control here? You know, God prepares us for battle. I'm so thankful that he just doesn't take us and he just pushes us out and say, okay, like the bird in the nest, here, learn how to fly. But God prepares us. He does things in our lives to prepare us, to draw us closer to him in our lives. He doesn't just throw us into battle. And he did that with Israel. Look how God prepared his children. God prepared his children by what he did when he took them out of Egypt. Look at what God brought them through. They had just crossed the Jordan not long before this. God had brought them through some tremendous things that on the outside looking in, they looked impossible. But that's what God does. He does these things in our lives to prepare us. You know, the battles we face are difficult. I'm not making light of any struggle you guys go through today. I'm sure some of you, if you wanted to share, could share that you are weary, that you are discouraged, that you would like to just say, I give up. I can't do this. We do become discouraged. They're difficult. But we need to remember that without faith in God to see us through, our battles will get us down. The enemy loves to tell us and to bring us down. He loves to speak those words into our minds and our thoughts to say, you know what? You are no good. You can't make it. Who do you think you are? And we will get down if we look to ourselves. We need to fight these battles with God. Fighting them in our own strength will only bring us discouragement. So I want us to look at three things this morning. Three things that our faith must be doing in order for us to succeed in battle. Three things. The first one is, when facing the battles of life, we must have faith in the one who leads us. We need to have faith in the one who leads us. Let's look at Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. It says, now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us or for our enemies? Neither, he replied, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? The commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. So many times in the battle, we feel alone. So many times in the battle, we like to come up with our own battle plan. I mean, here we find Joshua. He's out alone. And he sees Jericho in the distance. What is he doing out there? Is he thinking, how am I going to do this? That's what I'd be thinking. How in the world am I going to get these walls down? What in the world am I going to do so that we succeed? That's what a leader does. He tries to figure things out. He tries to lead and not rule his people. So I'm sure Joshua's out there thinking, what in the world are we going to do? And then all of a sudden, this one comes up with a drawn sword. Joshua says, oh boy, who are you? Are you for us or against us? I'd say the same thing if I were outside Jericho and I see a guy with a drawn sword. Who are you? He says, I am the commander of the army of the Lord. I bet at that point he went, whew. Good thing to hear. He saw the commander of the army of the Lord. Joshua saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua saw the drawn sword. You know, I think so many times we forget in life a couple of things, that God is the one who's in control, that Jesus Christ is the one who is fighting for us and with us. And we forget that he has a drawn sword. We don't serve a God who just is milquetoast, blah, blah, blah. He's not. He's one who has a drawn sword. He's one who's ready for battle, ready to fight. Remember that. Don't forget it. Joshua saw this commander of the Lord's army with his sword drawn, ready for battle. Joshua says, who are you? He says, I'm the commander of the Lord's army. The only thing Joshua could do was fall face down. The only thing Joshua could do is, what message do you have for me? And the third thing, he was told to take his sandals off because it was holy ground. What else could he do? He truly saw the Lord. As I said before, and you'll hear it numerous times again, so many times in life we try to take the battles into our own hands. So many times in life we try to figure it out on our own. Joshua came to the place when he saw the Lord that he fell face first into the dirt. The only thing he could see was the dirt. Sometimes God has to bring us to the end of ourselves. Because we're pretty crafty. We can figure a lot of things out. But sometimes God brings us to the place before the battle and in the battle that the only thing we can do is just see the dirt. Because when he does that, he's got our attention. You see what Joshua asked him? What message does the Lord have for his servant? Because now Joshua could hear him. Joshua was no longer looking out at Jericho wondering, what am I going to do? His face was down in the dirt, and the only thing he'd say was, what do you want me to do? He says, take your sandals off. This is holy ground. I am the commander. At that point, Joshua became second in command. God was going to lead them in this battle. God is the one who had the battle plan ready for him. When we face battles, we must remember that it is Jesus Christ who leads us into the battle. We must have faith in the one who leads us into the battle. The second thing we must have when facing the battles of life, we must have faith that God's way is the best way. We must have faith that God's way is the best way. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men.'" The Lord says, "See, I have delivered them into your hands." That's past tense. That means it's done. But if I were Joshua, I'd be thinking, you know what? The city's shut up. No one's getting in or out. But yet God is telling me I have already won. It's done. It's over. I have delivered them into your hand. You see, the walls were the hope of the people of Jericho. You know, there always are going to be battles in life. There's always going to be those walls that we see that seem impossible. Let me try to draw out for you. Not actually draw, because I don't draw too well. You wouldn't really want to see it. But what the walls of Jericho looked like, what did they look like? As they came up to these walls, they faced an enormous obstacle. An enormous obstacle. There was actually two walls. They've done some excavation over there, and they found that it's actually two walls. The first wall, as they would come up to it, they would look up, and they would find the first wall about 20 to 26 feet in the air. That was the first wall. And then between the first wall and the second wall were houses. Most likely that's where Rahab's house was that God protected as the walls came down. And then there was another wall on top of that. There was like this embankment that went up to the second wall. So this wall was up even further, and it was built up. So if you're down at the bottom of the wall and you're looking all the way up top to the second of the wall, you're talking about 46 feet. That's huge. That's huge. To us, it doesn't seem huge because it's 2009. But back then, that was a huge thing to get through. All they could see was the walls. And they said, how are we going to get through them? So many times in the battles of life, all we can see is the wall. All we can see is the debt. All we can see is the fighting. All we can see is the problems that come up in our lives and we don't know how to deal with them. All we can see is the battle. We must remember this. The battle had to come before settlement in the land. The battle had to come before the land could be settled. You know, God always stretches our faith, and God acts according to our faith. So you might ask this morning, why battles? Come on, God, can't you think of another way to grow me? Why battles? You know, there's got to be a better way, right? No. Why battles? Because it deepens our faith. It matures us. It gives us confidence in God. And remember this, that the battle belongs to the Lord. It's his battle. It's not ours. You know, we want to fight it. We want to take up arms and fight for ourselves. But God says, I'll do the fighting for you. I just need you to follow me. Verse 3, he gives them the battle plans. These have got to be good because God's given them. Battle plans. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priest blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in. Do what? March around the city. Blow the trumpets. Blow the shofar. Do that. God says. I would have said, do what? Humanly speaking, that's totally absurd. It's illogical from a military perspective that this is what we're going to do. It does not compute. Does not make sense. God, why do you want us to do this? Why do you want us to do this? But that's how God works. You know, because we have in our own mind how we think a situation should be worked out, how a difficulty should be handled. And God says, you know what? I have a better way. Have you ever had that happen in your life? And you're thinking, wow, I didn't see that one coming. Look at how God did that. I had it all planned out this way, but God said, I want you to do it this way. You see, the people of Israel were thinking, okay, we're going to take it down one brick at a time. We're going to do this somehow. But God says, I have a better way for you. Why does he do this? Because our plans are our plans. That'd give us something to brag about. Look at what we've done. We defeated Jericho. But God does what we don't expect. God does the impossible. Why does he do that? Because then he gets the glory. It becomes a God thing rather than a man thing. God says, I have a better way of doing it. There's three ways of doing God's work. Now, these came from Hudson Taylor, did not come from me, but they're pretty interesting. There's three ways of doing God's work. The first one is this: make the best plans we can and carry them out to the best of our ability. You ever done that before? I got this great idea, all right? I got an idea for a ministry. I got an idea for my family. I got this, whatever the thing is, put it in there. I got this idea. It's my plans. I'm going to carry them out to the best of my ability. You ever done that before? I mean, you try. You work hard. You strive. And nothing ever happens. That's one way of doing it. You know, so many times in ministry, it's like, God, take my fingerprints, take my hands off it, and let it be yours. Let it be God's. It's not our ministry. It's not what we do. It's what God does through us. The second way is having carefully laid out our plans and determined to carry them through, we may ask God to help us and to prosper us and to bless our plans. They're still our plans, but this time, you know what? I'm going to be determined. I'm going to try so hard, I'm just going to concentrate. And it's going to happen. Because I am more determined this time. It's got to happen, right? So I'm more determined. I'm trying harder. But I'm sweating now. What in the world? I'm striving to make it happen. They're still my plans. I'm still determined. And then you know what? I'll have God dot the end of it. So God, please bless my plans in Jesus' name. Amen. It's still our plans. It's still our way. It's still our striving. It's still our ability. But yet we want God, just bless it. Come on, Lord, bless my plans. The third way is the best way. Hudson Taylor said this: begin with God. Begin with God. Ask him his plans. It's God's plans to begin with. So begin with God, ask him his plans, and offer ourselves to carry out his purpose. You see the difference? You see the difference? It's now no longer my plans, it's God's plans. But what I'm doing is I am offering myself to him. I'm offering myself to God. I'm taking myself off the plate. I'm taking myself off the table. And I'm saying, God, it's about you. It's about your plans. It's about your will. It's about your way. 6 days, one time around each. Seventh day, seven times around. You know, what did that look like? You have armed men in the front. You have seven priests blowing trumpets behind them. You have the Ark of the Covenant, and then you have the rear guard. That's what it looked like. Can you imagine as Joshua explained this to his leaders? He's sitting around the campfire. Hey, guys, got a plan. We're going to march around the city and blow the shofars. And shofar, show good. So I always wanted to do that. Sorry. But imagine as he sat there. Just want to make sure you all were awake. Imagine as he's sitting there and he's around the campfire. And the generals are saying, we're going to do what? We're going to march around. Oh, good. Well, we got the armed men. Great. We're going to blow trumpets. Okay. Strange strategy, Joshua. Not really too clever. You know, I've come to the realization in life that there are just some things in life I'm just not going to get. And most of you are saying, yeah, that's true. I know, Roger. He doesn't get a lot of things. There are some things in life I'm just not going to get. You know, as Joshua explained this to his generals, I'm thinking they got to be thinking, man, I don't get it. I love these verses in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's way is always the best way. God's ways are different than ours. Why? So that he gets the glory. A couple of examples. You think of Noah. Hey, Noah, go build an ark. Excuse me. Yeah, go build an ark. It's going to rain. It's going to flood. Okay. He did it. He obeyed God. couple months ago, we looked at Gideon. He's going to fight a huge army with 30,000 men, and God says too many, so he takes it down to 300. Impossible situation. But yet he listened to God and did what God said for him to do. He obeyed him. And God worked through him and gave the victory. You know, we always have our human logic, and for me, I want it to fit neatly in my box. I like to think of myself as a practical person. I like to hear problems and situations, and I like to give my two cents on here's how it should work. Because I think a little bit practically. But so many times in my practical thinking, I don't leave room for God because I think that I have the answers. I need to leave room for God. I need to say, this is a supernatural thing. I need to leave room for the supernatural. I need to not forget about the supernatural. You know, if I were one of those generals and I'm sitting around the campfire with Joshua and he says, hey, we're just going to march around the city, I would have said, got a few ideas here. How about we make some ladders? You know, we have to get up these walls here, so let's make some ladders. Let's plan the attack this way. Or I got another idea. How about we just hang out here for a couple months and just starve the people inside because they're not coming in and out. I mean, how long can you last? Or let's get some battering rams. Hello, Joshua. You know, let's knock the walls down. We can do this. That's my human thinking. Joshua says, no, we're just going to circle the city, blowing the trumpets with the priests and with the ark. Verse 6, he says, so Joshua, son of Nun, called the priest and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord and have seven priests carry trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the people, advance, march around the city with the armed guard going ahead of the ark of the Lord. When Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets. And the ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priest who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding. But Joshua had commanded the people, do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout. So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the people returned to the camp and spent the night there. At this time, there's probably about 2 million people. 2 million Israelites. And out of that, there's probably about 600,000 fighting men. And I'm sure probably not all of them marched around the city. So let's just for fun, let's just say that 1 million marched around the city. That would be huge. Can you imagine seeing what that looked like? Just an amazing sight. And Joshua tells them something interesting, because I'm a talker, if you haven't figured that out. He said, keep silent. Keep silent. Don't say a word. As they're marching around, the only thing they can hear is the distant sound, the blowing of the trumpets. But I got to think, and it's not in the passage, so it's sort of conjecture here, but I got to believe that as those people from Jericho are up on the wall, they got to be looking down on these people thinking, what in the world are they doing? I'd be going, yo, dude, why are you walking around the walls? You know, I'd have been one of the guys up on the wall yelling down at them saying, what in the world are you doing? And then if I was one of the Israelites, I'd be marching around. I'd be going, oh, man, I got a good comeback for him. But I'm just going to keep it to myself. I'm not going to say a word. And I'm sure that probably some of the things they heard were discouraging. Saying, what in the world are you guys doing? They probably taunted them. Sometimes we hear those voices in our lives of the only ones we hear are the ones that are the discouraging voices. You know, sometimes you get around Job's comforters and they say, oh, by the way, you're right, you're not going to make it. You're right, you can't do it, come to think of it. And by the way, and furthermore, you ever hear those discouraging voices in your life? And it's like, oh, man, why aren't you encouraging me? I need help here. I need my arms lifted up. I need someone to strengthen my feeble knees because I can't make it. We listen to those discouraging voices when we need to be focusing on what God is doing and listening to his voice rather than those around us. Verse 12 says, Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord The seven priests carrying the seven trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. For a total of 7 days, they circled this city. Now imagine if you were one of the Israelites and you just spent your morning marching around the city of Jericho and you go back home. If that were me, I probably would have come home and I said, "Hey, Shell, what's up with that? I mean, we just marched around the city of Jericho here." I'd have been thinking of excuses to get out of it for the next day. I mean, I don't know about you, but I would have been thinking like, you know what, man, I just got these new sandals and these bindings on them. They're just killing me. You know, how about I go down to the Jordan and just soak my feet and maybe do some fishing or something? Can you imagine what the thoughts went through? I'm probably the only crazy one who thinks of these things, but I think, what were they saying? What were they thinking after they did this? You know, I would have given up. I would have said, you know what, I'm done. I'm finished with this. And maybe you're here today and you feel like, you know what, I'm giving up on my Jericho. I've had enough. My feet hurt. I'm done. But you know what? The walls need to come down, so hang in there. You know, with the Israelites, it came down to obedience. You know, Joshua didn't sit down each one of these millions of people and give them the game plan, say, okay, now we're going to march around a total of 13 times, and then the walls are going to come down after you shout. I'm sure not everybody had the game plan, but they obeyed the leader. They obeyed what God wanted them to do. They marched around 13 times. You know, in Hebrews 11:30, it says, by faith the walls fell after the Israelites marched around for 7 days. It wasn't until they went around the 13th time and they shouted that the walls came down. You know, you might be in the midst of the Battle of Jericho this morning. And you're thinking, man, I'm only 6 times around. Be encouraged. 7 more. The walls are going to come down. It must be completed. The 13th time had to be completed before the walls came down. So many times we get in a hurry and we want to get out of the battle because we just had enough. But God says, hold on just a little bit longer. Hold on just a little bit longer. Just a little bit more. The walls are going to come down. Have faith that they're going to come down. Because they will. Have faith that God's way is the best way, even when we have to march around the walls. Even when you say, I don't know why. The last thing is this. When facing the battles of life, we must have faith that with God the victory is sure. We must have faith that with God the victory is sure. Look at verse 15. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. Except that on that day, they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Down to verse 20. When the trumpet sounded, the people shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So every man charged straight in, and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword everything living in it. It wasn't until the 7th day, the 13th time around, and when they shouted that the walls finally came down. You know, you look at these walls, you know, it was the most dangerous place to be, yet it was the safest place to be. Because Rahab was there. If you look further on down in the chapter, it talks about how Rahab and her family was saved. Because she took care of the spies when they came in to spy out Jericho. She was protected. She was at the most dangerous place, but yet it was the safest place to be. You think of times in the Bible when it was the most dangerous place, but the safest place. One of those is when the disciples are out on the Sea of Galilee and a storm comes up. And these guys are fishermen and they're going, oh boy, we're in trouble. We need help here. Where's Jesus? He's in the boat. He's in the back of the boat sleeping. They're like, yo, wake up. Come on, we're going to die. And he just simply stands up and says, peace be still. It's all over. A very dangerous place to be inside that boat, but yet the safest place to be because Jesus was with them. You think of in the Old Testament, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't bow down to the false god. They were sent to the fiery furnace, a very dangerous place to be. But yet, when they were in there, God was with them. They came out and they didn't even smell like smoke. They should have been crispy critters, but they weren't. A dangerous place, but yet the safest place to be. You know, you might be feeling like you're hanging off the walls of Jericho this morning. You might be feeling like, man, I'm in the fiery furnace. You might be feeling like I'm in that boat with the disciples saying, God, help me. You're thinking, why won't he wake up? Our tendency is to do one of two things. We either run or we hide. Those are your options. You know, run as far as I can. You know, I got to get away from this. Or we hide and pretend it's not happening. It's called denial. We run or we hide, yet the safest place is right where we are, right where God is working, right where he is talking to us, right where he is. These walls were massive. They were impossible, 46 feet high. They were impossible, humanly speaking. But how many times in our lives do we gravitate towards the flesh and say, this can't be done? I'm good at that. To say, how about I blah, blah, blah. No, can't do it. But what about that? No. Can't be done. Can't do it. Sorry. Can't be done. The victory won't happen. But we don't have the ability to do it without God. We can't do it without him. The battles are won through his power and through his strength alone, not ours. You know, what God does in and through us will be the victory. Trust him 100%, not 50%, not 80%, not 99.9, but trust God 100% to get us through, to get you through. Have faith that God, that with him, the victory is sure. A couple of things as we wrap up. First question is this: do you know the leader of the battle? Do you know him? Do you know Jesus Christ? You may be sitting here this morning thinking, wow, battles, that's cool. Walls came down. You may be here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you today, if you don't know Jesus Christ, come to him today. It's simply accepting what he did, the work he did on the cross for you and for me. He died for your sins and he died for mine. And what he did for us was sufficient for every sin that we've ever committed in our lives, past, present, and future. So if you have never come to Jesus Christ today, let me encourage you, come and see me afterwards, see someone on the worship team or on the prayer team, and say, I want to know Jesus Christ. I want to be sure of my eternity. I want to be sure of where I'll go when I die. So do you know this leader of the battle? Secondly, if you're trusting in yourself this morning, let go of your own abilities. Let go of your own strategies. Quit trying to figure it out on your own and let God be the commander. Give it back to him. It's like I can just picture just holding it on in my hands and I'm trying so hard to hold everything together. But God is saying, let go. It's like you ever try to pry something out of your kid's hands like one finger at a time. You're like, and sometimes that's what he has to do with us. Because we're just so stubborn, we're prideful and all those kinds of things. But God says, just let go. Let me be God. Last thing is this. Remember that if you're in the midst of the battle today, God is with you. God is with you. If you need prayer this morning, you know, someone on the worship team, there'll be prayer counselors up here afterwards. Come on up. Have someone pray with you. You know, you might be in the midst of the Battle of Jericho this morning, and you're thinking, how many more times do I have to go around this wall before the walls come down? You know, if you just need prayer this morning, you just need someone to talk to, come on up afterwards up front, and someone will pray with you. Someone will talk with you. Let's stand together. Let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful for your word, and we're just thankful that you are with us in the midst of the battle, that you're with us in the midst of the struggles. I just pray for each one today. Lord, whatever they're going through, whatever Jericho they're facing, whatever impossible situation they're facing today, that you would be in the midst, that you would remind them that you are faithful, that you are good, that you want to see them through. So I pray for each one today that you would encourage them in their walk with you, encourage them in their faith, Lord, that you would give them the faith to face the things that come up in our lives, that you would help each one of us to do that. So, Lord, we're so thankful for all that you do for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.